welcome back to the Mainland Podcast, everybody. It is, wow, we're back to the weekly schedule now, and this is episode number 75. It's game week, David Rowe.
Could not be happier about that. Are you kidding me? I even got my kids involved. Like, as I got home today, I was like, guys, guess what? Sunday, game day. And both of them, they were like, woohoo. So it's a family affair up here in Tallahassee.
Awesome. This is, I'm very excited. This is our 75th show, and we've got a great guest coming up a little bit later. We're fortunate enough to get one of our Lions on opening week, and I'm very excited. I did not get to cover the friendly against St. Louis FC on the weekend. I was actually in Daytona for the 500 and the 300 on Saturday, so I had a couple of race days going on over the weekend. I'm still a new Orlando City Stadium virgin. I have still not set foot in the venue, and I'm looking forward to Sunday, which is going to be a rare treat for me because I'm not going to be in the press box. I'm going to be in the wall on Sunday, and I'm going to write about the experience of being in that safe standing section on Sunday for opening day, which is sure to be absolutely bananas.
You are one lucky son of a gun. I tell you what, because like you said, most of the time you're in the press box. And as nice as that is, there's nothing quite like being among all the crazy maniacs that we have in the stadium.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've had season tickets for the last couple of years, and I've gotten to go to two games in the last couple of years as a fan. I've gotten to go to the West Brom friendly in 2015. And last year I went to the Toronto game, which was the insane game with Kaká scoring in the 110th minute.
Well, I'm glad you brought up
the 100th minute, I think it was. It was 10 minutes of stoppage, and that was an amazing one to be. I was with my former broadcast partner, Andrew Harrison, for that game against Toronto FC. So, so go ahead, what you were saying.
I was saying I'm glad you brought up West Brom. They have my favorite nickname of all time, but we'll get to that later.
All right. Well, I have introduced you, David Rowe. I am, of course, Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. And the Mainland Podcast is, of course, brought to you by themainland.com. In addition to being the first week of the season, we got a few things to talk about going into this week. Orlando City opened the new stadium, as we mentioned, Saturday. Our Gavin Eubank was on hand, and it was a 3-1 victory for the good guys over St. Louis FC out of the USL, which St. Louis has moved over to the East and will play OCB this season. One goal from Kaká, two from Kyle Larin, pair of assists for Carlos Rivas, a very nice christening to the stadium.
Indeed, and it's exactly what I now, granted, USL side, but that's exactly what we're hoping to see from all these guys. You know, how fitting is it that Kaká gets the first goal in the new stadium? I mean, that's just it's almost poetry. You know, he had the first MLS goal for us, and then he christens the new stadium. So that was just perfect. Then a brace for Kyle, and you got to feel good about that. So the day couldn't have gone better. The stadium, of course, is absolutely beautiful. It's getting rave reviews everywhere, not just from those of us in Orlando or Florida, but all over the nation.
Yeah, it's, you know, from everything I've seen, and, you know, we had a photographer on hand who did a really nice photo gallery, just a phenomenal venue, the surface, the playing surface getting rave reviews, the stadium, the seats, everything about the stadium is getting great reviews, and I can't wait to see it, and I'm sure our fans can't wait to step foot in it and, you know, march over from Church Street for the match and, you know, lend their voices as Orlando City takes on rival New York City FC on Sunday afternoon in a televised game. Now, today was the media day for Orlando City, and there, you know, Alex Leitao said that the club wanted to have the first home game be on the third week of the season, presumably to get those last-minute details done, and in case the stadium wasn't quite finished, which, as of now, they're still trying to finish it up for opening day, and they say it'll be ready. Maybe it won't be 100% functionality, but it'll be, you know, pretty close. I think it'll still be a great game day experience for everybody. But you know, they wanted to just be sure they had time for any last minute delays or anything. And Don Garber said, you know what, we want you to be on opening weekend against New York City so you can be on national TV. And the club said, okay, yeah, that sounds like it would be kind of fun to be on national TV with the new stadium against our rivals. So, yeah, so it's interesting. I thought that, this there's always delays when they build stadiums, and you always have to be cognizant of that. And, of course, the redesign, you know, led to the biggest delay. But, of course, you can never count on things like the weather and things like that. So you never know what's going to happen and in any large construction project. And so they wanted to build in a little bit of extra time, and it didn't quite happen. But, it's a shame that they may not be at 100% functionality of all things hitting on all cylinders for game one. But I think most fans won't even notice it, and I'm hoping that everything goes off without a hitch. But the club did urge fans to be a little patient on opening day. It's going to be their first time, doing a major event there. And obviously the stadium didn't get done quite in time to do, a full-blown let the public in kind of friendly before the season started. So, there may be some unexpected things happen, but hopefully everything goes swimmingly, and hopefully the good guys in purple come out with a win. And of course, we expect, since Kaká got the first Orlando City goal in MLS in the Citrus Bowl, and he got the first goal in the new venue, he'll probably have the first goal on Sunday for Orlando City as well.
One can hope, and I think you're right. Patience will be the key word this Sunday. Nobody's sat in those seats yet. I mean, people have to find where they're going. They got to find the bathrooms. They got to find the concessions. You know, everything is going to be new for everybody. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be the atmosphere, I think, is going to be just as incredible as each of the opening games have been each year that we've been there. Obviously, it's going to be a sellout. But I think that the whole coming home and having our own stadium, I think it's going to lend a little bit of more electricity to the fans that are there. And I have a feeling that if I'm going to go out on a limb, I'll say, I think we win. And I think part of it's just because of the home field advantage. Now, usually, I'm not a big, home field advantage guy, but there's just something special about it. And I don't know. I think the team's going to step up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the team responds to the fans and vice versa. It'll be, a good test to see, how loud the place can be. And I think it's going to be in full song pretty early on. And everybody's just going to be amped up already for opening day. And then you add in that the team is playing its first game in the new stadium, playing against New York City. I think all of those things will just crescendo into this this just massive wall of noise, and especially from those stands in those safe standing grandstand, and it's going to be just amazing, and I can't wait to see all the purple on Sunday.
And you're going to be in the middle of it.
That's right.
You're going to be right in the middle of it. I am so jealous. I will be watching. The whole family here will be watching on TV, and I'm sure that we'll see you. I'm sure you'll stand out.
If I do, it's probably not a good thing, but we'll see how it goes. So we've got that going for us, and it's nice that we've got the first game week, and this is our first of our full in-season weekly podcast. We had our February one last week. This one is dropping March 1st. We're starting March off with a bang with our first weekly one for this season. We'll go all the way through until Orlando City is eliminated with a weekly schedule. There may be some kind of a lull in the middle of the season, like for Gold Cup or something, where we may take a week off. We'll play it by ear, but mostly we'll be weekly from now on. I know that's going to be a big boost for our listeners. They'll get to get back in the swing of the weekly listens and downloading us regularly and listening to us on their phones or in their cars or wherever they listen to us yahoos yammer. But it's good because we're talking Orlando City soccer, and we've got a lot to cover today. Let's start with of course we already touched on the friendly. I, of course, didn't get to see it because I wasn't there. I was at the Daytona. Not many did, you know, about 150 people were on hand, some staff and friends and family. And, you know, but they took care of business, and you can read about the match at mainland.com. Gavin Eubank did a nice write up on that. And we have photos from Nick Leyva. So check out our photo gallery. The other big news this week is that Orlando City going to the free Lion Nation mobile app for all members and non-members. You don't have to be a paid member of Lion Nation to get the app. The app is free. And what they're going to do with this app is they're going completely paperless for ticketing for the whole 2017 season. So it's going to be a big move for the club. You're going to, you know, download it. Everything should be intuitive. You shouldn't have any trouble. All events held at the Orlando City Stadium, including the Kids versus Pros, you have to go through the Lion Nation app to get that paperless ticketing going. You know, I haven't even actually downloaded it yet. I'm bad. I'm a very big procrastinator. But yeah, after you download the app, you sign up for an account. The Lion Nation existing members use your existing membership email address and select a username and password to complete the registration form. You can that's how you register to manage your game day tickets. You know, you can always upgrade to the full Lion Nation if you want to. There's no need to. You know, this way, your paperless ticketing through the Lion Nation thing or your account manager is just a way to go paperless, and it's just a way for the club to better manage and track everything. And, you know, I don't really know how this is going to go yet, but Dave, do you have a sense of, do you think this is something that maybe is something that may be troublesome for some of the more technologically backward fans, or, you know, what do you think of this system?
I'm pretty tech savvy for an old man, so I think it's a good thing. I get what you're saying. Here's what I think is that, look, we've already gotten a little bit used to this type of thing with mm-hmm. going to the movies. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. You can pull it up on your phone. You show it to the people. They let you in. We've been moving this way. And as somebody who, all right, so last year, as you remember, I was able to make it down for four games, did the four game ticket thing with my dad and family. And there was always the thing of, you know, getting the pieces of paper, making sure that I didn't forget them. Is it in the glove box? You know, there was all that kind of worry. Everybody has their phone on them all the time. So it's going to take away that worry that I had of leaving. You know, I'm 4 hours away. So, you know, if I'd gotten halfway down to a game and forgot the tickets at the house, that would be a problem. Mm-hmm. So this is going to take care of that. You just, no worries. You pull it up. You pull it up on the app. Your tickets are right there. Who doesn't have a smartphone? I mean, okay, there are some people out there, but guess what? Those people have grandkids too. So, you know, point being is just like anything else, people are going to get used to it. There might be a small adjustment period, but I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think it'll end up being better overall. One of the reasons, of course, they're doing this is, you know, security wise, just, that way, you know, people don't, falsify tickets and, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have that problem. So, I mean, you know, you're signed in to your login, your tickets are there, you've got them, you don't have to worry about it. It's, so I think it's a good thing. Are there going to be hiccups? Sure. Anytime you do anything new, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be hiccups with the new stadium. There's going to be hiccups with all of it. But mm-hmm. overall, I still think it's a good thing. I think people will get used to it pretty quick. And, you know, I think a couple weeks from now, it's going to be a non-issue.
All right. Tickets for Sunday will be available 80 hours prior to kickoff for those for you to download on that app. And you can do everything through the app. You can resell them, you can transfer them to friends, you can even, you know, and this includes the tickets that are purchased and sold through the ticket exchange, which you know, season ticket holders are used to using. You know, when you can't go to a game, you throw it on the ticket exchange, somebody buys it, and it's all taken care of. So it shouldn't be an issue. There are people at the club that will help you if you have issues, and people at Ticketmaster will be on hand to help you through it on game day if you're having issues. So it shouldn't be a problem. Don't come to us. We're not running this thing.
Yeah, definitely don't call me. I'm not tech support.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's funny we're talking about this because I just introduced my dad to the wonders of StubHub over the weekend. My dad comes down for the 500 every year, and this year he didn't get tickets for the Saturday race over in Daytona. And so I was curious. I was like, well, I wonder how much those were. And I looked them up, and they're, you know, they're over $100 for a decent seat there for the Saturday race and up. And I said, well, I wonder what's going on StubHub. And my dad's like, what's that? And so I told him about StubHub. It's the secondary market, and people sell their tickets there. And he was skeptical, but we found a couple of Saturday tickets in actually in the club level for like 40 some odd dollars. And, you know, normally well over $100 seats. And, you know, so we bought them, printed them out here at the house, took them with us. And, you know, he was still skeptical. Well, what happens if they don't take them? What happens if they don't let us in? And, you know, and I had to tell him, you know, dad, you know, they have the StubHub's got the guarantee. They'll, you know, they'll either refund your money or replace the tickets. And so, of course, we got in with no problems, and the seats were great. And in fact, he wants to move his Sunday tickets there now. So he was pretty impressed with the whole thing. So anyway, yeah, Lion Nation app, download that free on Google Play or at the Apple Store, iTunes Store, whatever. And, you know, grab that and make sure you're taking care of your tickets that way. And it should be easier for most people because, again, you're not going to misplace those. Now, there are some people, though, that I'm kind of like one of these people, though, that like to save those tickets, you know, for special occasions. You know, if I go someplace, I like to save the ticket. I still got all of my Daytona 500 tickets, for example. And, you know, someday they'll go to the paperless tickets, too. And
Michael, I got you covered. I got you covered. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to pull up that ticket on your phone. You're going to take a screenshot.
Yeah.
And you're going to send it to yourself, and then you're going to print it up, and you're going to put it on your wall.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you could do that. I don't know about the hologram.
Okay, it's not the same.
I don't know how good the hologram will work. Some of those tickets are pretty involved. But, yeah, anyway, you're right, though. It's from a security standpoint and not having to worry about forgetting them and that kind of thing. It's a good thing for the fans. So, ultimately, it's a good thing for most people. So, you know, there was a little bit of a trade this week.
Really? There was a trade?
Yeah, there was a trade. Our very own Orlando City was involved in a Major League Soccer trade. And this is one of the newsworthy items of the week since we last spoke, and we had a really good time, and we talked to who did we talk to last week?
I was still at work.
You were still at work, as you normally are.
You
are a guy who works late. I'm kidding, of course. We are very pleased to have a very big guest for you this. But last week, you know, we had, you know, we talked, you and I talked.
Yes.
And we had a very nice podcast episode number 74, which you can still get if you haven't listened to it. You can still go back and get that. You don't have to just listen to 75 this week if you missed 74. By all means, go back and grab that because we had a Donny Toya interview.
Yes,
and
that
was very cool. Now, Donny Toya is one of the newest Lions, but not the newest Lion, because this week Orlando City has acquired Giles Barnes and said goodbye to Breck Shea.
Now, if you had told me when we ended the podcast last week that, oh, hey, there's going to be a major trade between the next time we do the podcast, I would have said, nah, not going to happen. Here
well,
we are.
It did.
And it did, yes. So Breck Shea out. I mean, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess my first question for you about this trade is, what do you think of it? I mean, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about it? And now that you've had some time to digest it, what are your thoughts about Breck Shea to Vancouver Whitecaps for Giles Barnes?
First thought was, like I said, holy cow, okay, that just happened. after that, it was, okay, let me take a look at what's going on here. You know, it wasn't a shock that we were going to let Breck go. As much as we all like him, and as much as I kind of felt he was the Mad Hatter of the Lions. He always had the great outfits and the funny hats, and he was an Instagram king when it came to that stuff, and we all enjoyed that, and it was nice to stick that in the Lion Links every once in a while. But That being said, he unfortunately never was able to get to the level that we needed him to be at. Now, some of that was probably moving back and forth between left back and, you know, midfield, and then him always wanting to push forward. And so, not to mention the stuff for the national team. So there were a lot of issues that went on with that, which, you know, we of course could go into. But, you know, bottom line is he didn't live up to the expectations of what somebody of his, you know, talent level should have for Orlando City. And given that the coach is trying to implement his new system, I think that Giles is going to be a better fit. He's going to bring more of that attacking midfield that we're looking for with the new scheme. And overall, I think it was a great trade for us. Breck, of course, you know, now Breck was, you know, we had a lot of money in Breck, but, and we actually have more, you know, in Giles. But I think the production that we'll get out of him, you know, Breck was essentially a very well-paid bench guy. And that, you know, that's a lot of money for a guy that's not getting a lot of playing time.
Absolutely. That's, I mean, I think that was the big thing for me, is that we knew Jason Christ was going to probably move to a 4-4-2 and have a second striker up top. And that was going to take an attacking midfielder out of the middle. And that was going to always affect Breck Shea, because you're not taking Kaká out of the lineup, and you're probably not taking Matias Perez Garcia out of the lineup, because he's played very well, especially since Kevin Molino moved on to Minnesota. You're going to need MPG out there for his offensive prowess and his ability to link up with Kaká and the two forwards. Breck Shea was going to always be a bench guy, and at $500,000, you can't have him on your bench.
No, you cannot.
He's a player that I think was unjustly, I think, bashed by some of our fans because of his lack of production, but most of that lack of production can be attributed to the fact that he was trying to learn a new position for 2 years, or the majority of the last 2 years. He did get to play some midfield, but of course, if you're not playing there regularly, you're not going to be in rhythm, you're not going to be in your best form, and not only when he did play midfield was he not, you know, used to playing there after having moved out of there, he was also flip-flopping sides for a while as injuries and different things happen. So, you know, Breck doesn't actually get a chance to settle in and get into a groove ever in his time in Orlando City. And part of that was due to his sports hernia in 2015 that kept him out for a while. And part of it was to, you know, moving to defense. And but you just saw flashes of that player that he was for FC Dallas. You saw that goal last year, which was our goal of the year, where he had the give and go with Kaká and just absolutely sent a screamer to the far post, you know, curling it in with, you know, outside of his foot. And you saw that against the LA Galaxy in some of the late season games where he came in off the bench and provided some instant energy. And one thing you never say about Breck is that he lacked effort, because he really busted his hump up and down the field. I think for the most part, I think there were times when he overthought the defensive things that he was supposed to do, and sometimes he shied away from closing people down because he was a little bit unsure of himself and not confident in what he you know, what his technique was supposed to be. But I think Breck was a good soldier at Orlando City. I think that he did give his best, and I think that had he stayed, he may have refound his form up front, but he probably wasn't going to get a lot of playing time to do that in. So you know, making the move for Barnes does two things. Number one, it brings in an additional potential wing player. Barnes can play the wing. He can also play up top with Kyle Larin and actually be that number one guy if you need him to be, if Larin is off with the Canadian national team or suffers a knock and needs some time off. He's a guy who can play the number one striker role for you if you need him to. He's good on set pieces. You know, he's a guy he's been, you know, he's had a few injury bugs, but he's really kind of been more consistently a good, dangerous player in his years in Houston. You know, he's had a couple of down years, but I think that for the most part, this is a guy that you can reliably say is, when he's on his game, is one of the better players in MLS.
Absolutely. And, you know, he started out in England even had some, and this is where the West Brom thing comes up. Okay, he was only at West Brom for 23 games, but you know what? For a little while, he was a baggie. And I love the fact that they call themselves Baggy. Sorry. There was a Pride pub where we went when we played against West Brom, and I will forever love them because of the nickname. But anyway, point being is that he was awarded, player of the year, or youngest player of the year, and things like that when he was over in England. I mean, he was showing a lot of potential. It somewhat fell through after an injury. He ended up in MLS, like you said, in Houston, did an excellent job. Didn't play a lot in Montreal, but now we've got him. And of course, the hope is that we're going to get the Houston version of him, which, you know what, based on, what we've seen, what we've read of him and his excitement for being here. I mean, let's face it, nothing against Montreal, but it's a lot nicer in Orlando as far as the weather goes. And I think he's going to fit in well. And given how he fits into the scheme, I think he's going to be a very good additional piece for that attack that will allow us to do what we want to do this year on that side of the field.
Well, I'm going to point out your party foul because he was, of course, in Vancouver.
Oh, sorry. Yep, you're right.
That's okay. And Vancouver's a wonderful place, but here's why I'm not concerned about his lack of form in Vancouver. Here's a guy who has got to deal with a new city, not only a new city, but a new country. He's got to play on turf, which he didn't really care for. And he's got to get used to new everything. He's different weather up there, different everything. So it's not surprising that he was not able to adjust in the short period of time he was there. He spoke today at Media Day, and as we record this, it would be today, but it would be after today when you're listening to this. He spoke about the fact that he was excited about the stadium and excited about getting back on the grass field, and he's been welcomed with open arms. He sounded very upbeat, very ready to go, and obviously you rarely hear a player in preseason say the wrong things. But he genuinely seemed like he was getting a new lease on life, and we're excited to see what he can bring to this team because he seems like a Jason Christ type of player.
Yeah. And he the other thing he mentioned was being able to have the Orlando City fans cheering for him rather than jeering for him. Having played here and experienced that, so I know he's excited about he did mention that in particular, and it's no surprise there. But I agree with you, that he does seem more like a Christ kind of guy. I think that the pushing forward with the attack, I especially out of that upper midfield, I think that's something that he definitely brings more experience, than Breck had, at least, early, at least what we saw out of Breck. And, you combine him with the other pieces we have up top, that's where I think that this is going to be, that we ended up with a good part of this trade. I mean, I'm going to miss Breck. He was, like you said, he was a great soldier. And he was a whole lot of fun to read about, but, and that one goal that you talked about, that give and go to Kaká, that was that's still one of my favorite goals ever in professional soccer. But I think we ended up with the better end of the trade, and I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah, Barnes had about, I think, 113 or so appearances with the Houston Dynamo, and scored 31 goals and assisted on 14. So he had a hand in 45 goals in 113 appearances. That's a very good scoring rate at any top flight. He also had a couple of goals in 10 appearances with Vancouver, although he waited till the last game, I think, of the year to have those. But maybe
good. That means he's in form now.
That's right. Just as he was rounding into form, Vancouver sent him packing. And I know the Vancouver fans never quite warmed up to him because he never really found his form there. But I think that he'll be embraced in this community, and I think that he'll do well. I'm not concerned about him. He's a Jamaican international. Has played for the Jamaican national team in international competition. He's a veteran guy, and he could do a lot of things. He could win headers. He could take free kicks. He's a quality player, and I think that we didn't necessarily get the Brecht that we wanted any more than Vancouver got the Barnes that they wanted when they got him from Houston. So maybe this just a change of scenery and a new philosophy and a new coach and, you know, new surroundings maybe will benefit all parties involved.
I was going to say, and of course we do wish Brecht all the best. You know, he was a fantastic ambassador as far as, you know, getting out in the community, doing things. So, you know, and of course we'd like to see him back on the U.S. men's national team. So I hope that he finds his footing there. I hope it goes well. And like you say, hopefully all parties involved end up better off.
Yep. And yeah, we have a saying around here, forever a Lion. And Brecht will forever be a Lion. He is part of the tapestry and the tradition and the history of Orlando City Soccer Club. So forever Lion Brecht. Of course, he must listen to the show because everybody does. So I'm sure he's happy that we're wishing him well in his future. And it'll be good to see him. And as you mentioned, with the national team, he was the first Orlando City MLS player to suit up for the United States. So we'll always have him in that respect in terms of a trivia question. So good luck to Brecht Shea and a big trade. We look forward to seeing what Barnes brings to the club. And, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to get even more excited about opening day is we're going to talk to another one of the newest Orlando City MLS players, or at least MLS contract signers. Right here, I had a little conversation earlier with MLS contract signee Pierre Da Silva, who played with OCB last year in the USL, was one of Orlando City B's and one of the USL's more dynamic players, led the team in assists, and really made a mark for himself, and he's now making a mark for himself also in the United States youth national setup, and he's played for the U17s and the U... I think he played since U15 as far back as then. So it'll be nice to see. He played with the U19s last year, I believe, and Pierre Da Silva's got a bright future. So without further ado, right after these brief messages, we'll have our conversation with Pierre Da Silva. All right, joining us on the Mainland Podcast this time is Pierre Da Silva, forward/midfielder with Orlando City. As you may know, he played with Orlando City B last year, signed to an MLS deal. Pierre, thanks so much for being with us on the Mainland Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, guys, for all the support.
So I wanted to start out, first of all, by congratulating you on the MLS contract and just kind of pick your brain as to, you know, what was your thought at the time, you know, getting the offer and what were the discussions that led up to this?
First off, thank you. And they just told me that I was doing great and, they didn't tell me directly that I was going to get an MLS deal, but that's what I was pushing for, and I was willing for it because I had a good season with OCB, and it ended up coming through. And it was amazing having that feeling, them contacting me and saying that they're going to sign me to an MLS deal. It was amazing. Like, I can't even describe the words.
Now, I know that the club kind of wanted to get you via the old homegrown player rule, but I think because you played with the U17 team, with the US U17s, and you were born in New York, I think that MLS rules prevented that. But were you involved at all? Did you know about that with the club, and was that something you were hoping to have, or did it not matter?
Yeah, I knew that they tried like twice to push it for a homegrown deal, and it didn't happen. But I mean, I didn't want to like to force anything, and like so I just let everything roll and like happen, and everything happened good. So So now I'm on the MLS deal.
So have you talked to like Tony Rocha, you know, about, you know, another guy that was at Orlando City B last year, and have you had conversations with him about what it's like to make that jump from the USL to MLS?
Yeah, I had a couple of conversations with them, and they always tell me that it's different, it's a different environment, which it is, like the pace, the players, like it's a different pace, like at training, in games, it's really different as the USL.
So what's different about Pierre Da Silva entering 2017 from last year?
I want to be the same person as last year, maybe more, and work my way up in the MLS squad.
So what did you do? What did you do differently? Did you do anything differently this season? Did you, for example, did you put on weight? Did you train differently? Was there a new routine that you undertook with Jason Christ being the head coach this year as opposed to last year when Adrian Heath led the team going into the season? Was there anything you did differently to prepare for the 2017 season?
My off season was great. I did all the work that they told me to do, so I did everything right. Yeah, I gained a couple pounds, which is good, that because I have to like build muscle and like play a game against bigger guys. And well, that's it, pretty much.
So, who are some of the guys who you sort of think that you kind of play like them, like guys that you look and took things from their game? Who are some of those guys?
Obviously Ricky, like Kaká. He's worn his cleat since I was like a little kid, and I admired him, and I like how he plays, because like he's a really good player. And also MPG, which I like how he plays, and he plays my position, so I look up to him and what his movements are. Like, he cuts in, he does this, he does that, and I try to do the same thing in the field.
Now, as a young player, obviously it's very difficult in a crowded midfield situation in a top flight league for there to be minutes there. Have you spoken to Jason Christ about what his expectations are for you this year in terms of, will you be on the MLS side? Will there be an OCB loan? Will there be sort of back and forth? Do you have any idea of what your 2017 season will look like?
I don't know yet, but it's up to the coaches and how I perform and everything. And I don't want to push. I don't want to force anything. And if it happens, it happens. If I go down to USL and I play USL and I work, I keep working, and I go back to MLS. So it's up to the coaches.
Good enough. So what would you say your strengths are as a player? What is the best thing about Pierre Da Silva's game?
I'll say my assists, my crosses. Like, when I get the ball, I can run at people. And goals as well.
And what are some of the things that you would like to improve upon and to make yourself a better, more rounded player?
I want to work more like on my like strength, so like get a little bit more bigger, and my defense, like tracking back and stuff like that.
So with you getting an MLS contract and training with the first team, who are some of the guys that have sort of taken you under their wing and showed you the ropes on how to be a professional in the top flight?
I'll say Mascherino. He's always telling me like to never lose the ball. You're a really talented player, so you shouldn't be losing the ball. And he's always there. He's always telling me what to do. Ricky as well tells me what to do, and also Rafa's always telling me too, like, always like giving me support.
So as a young man who was born in New York, and you have, I believe your parents are Peruvian and Brazilian. Is there one nationality that you sort of gravitate to more than the others, or do you just sort of consider yourself all of that?
I mean, I consider myself all of that because I'm half and half and half. So I'm born here, but I'm half Brazilian and I'm half Peruvian.
Now,
and I support both, like all three countries,
mm-hmm.
but I play for the U.S.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk to you about that. What does it mean to you to be able to, represent this country, in international play? That's not something that every player gets to do.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing. I started with the national team, I'll say U15, right when I got back from Brazil, because I played in Santos in Brazil for 3.5 years, almost 4. Then I came back here and I got called to the national team, U15, and from there I went up to the 17s and to the 19s. So, I mean, it's a dream come true. I was born here in the U.S. and I'm playing and I'm representing and I'm playing for my country.
Could you give, obviously, with Sunday coming up and is the MLS season opener, not many of our fans have gotten an opportunity to go down and check out the stadium yet, as many as will go down, obviously, on Sunday. What are your impressions of Orlando City's new home?
It's amazing. I mean, I play in a lot of stadiums, and for me, this is like the best stadium in the MLS.
Now, last year you guys had to play out at East Florida State College. Obviously, we don't know yet if you're going to play any OCB games, but it's got to be a big boost to the guys on OCB knowing that they're going to be playing in that brand new stadium instead of bussing out to Melbourne for games. That's got to be a big relief for them.
Yeah, for sure, it's a big relief for everyone.
All right, Pierre. Well, before we let you get out of here, definitely got to, ask one more question. And what I want to know from you is, what are your expectations for a successful season for Pierre da Silva? What would you be happy at the end of the year, looking back, if you had accomplished?
Well, I want to get some playing time with the first team. And from there, build on. So, score goals, assists, and accomplish all my goals. So, like, put up some weight, work on my defense, and all those stuff.
All right. Well, Pierre da Silva from Orlando City, best of luck to you this season. Hope you get some first team minutes. And I understand you're going to be wearing number 98. Was that your birth year?
Yeah, I was born in 1998.
All right, well, so look for number 98 on the pitch in purple this season in the new downtown soccer stadium. Pierre da Silva, thank you so much for being with us on the Mainland Podcast.
Thank you.
Whew, all right, we are back, and that was it was really nice of Pierre da Silva to call in this week and give us his perspective, a mild-mannered, humble young man and very soft-spoken, but on the field, he goes hard in the paint, as they say, as the kids say.
Yeah.
So thanks to Pierre for being with us, and thanks for Lucas with Orlando City Communications for setting that up for us. Before we get out of here, Dave, it really, really, really amps me up to say this, but it's time for our keys to victory and our scoreline prediction. So what do you think is going to happen on Sunday? I want a scoreline. I want you to call your shots with the goal scorers. And what is the key to beating New York City? What does Orlando City have to do?
Okay, so to win this game, we are going to back line. I'm going back to the back line,
mm-hmm.
defense. So what I want to see is the improvement on the back line. Let's keep them out of the net. we have the talent up front. We have the opportunity to score. We've seen that. I think that's going to happen. I'm looking at a 2-1 victory.
Nice.
Now, I as much as I want the back line to shut them out, it's still early. I'm not gonna say that we're gonna be able to do that. So I'm giving them the goal. However, on the other side, I think with the pieces that we put in place, we're gonna push forward. I'm going to go with we're gonna stick with the tradition here. I'm gonna say Kaká gets one, and he gets the first one. And after that, I think that Laren is going to get the other one. That's our two. We win 2-1.
All right. My key matchup for the game, like yours, I want to see that back line. And so the key matchup I have is going to be Jonathan Spector and Jose Aja against David Villa. I think that's certainly the key to beating New York City, is to try to keep Villa quiet. As far as predictions go, and I'm not gonna even pretend that I'm very accurate. we have the disclaimer in advance that,
oh yes,
that please don't wager on our predictions.
Goodness, no, absolutely not.
But you know, two home openers in Orlando City's history in MLS, two draws. I'm going to stick with that trend because we are the team of draws. And I'm going to say we do like last year and go 2-2 like we did with Real Salt Lake, but not in the same fashion. I don't think that, or at least I'm certainly hoping that we don't need to come up with two in stoppage time.
So it's not going to be two in the last 90 yeah. seconds like it was last?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I was at that game, actually. Yeah.
I know you were, and I'm hoping we don't need to come from behind in the last 90 seconds. I think it's 2-2. I do think Villa gets one, and I don't know, maybe McNamara or somebody gets another one for New York City. I think Kaká, he just seems to rise to these occasions. So I think I'm going to say that maybe him. And I'm going to say, you know, as great as Kyle Laren's goal scoring record is against New York teams, there's just something about Carlos Rivas' preseason. I just see him redeeming himself this year and starting to break out. And I think that Jason Christ seems to have a belief in him that we haven't seen to this point. We haven't seen it from Adrian Heath. We didn't see it last year from Jason Christ. I think that he has a renewed belief in what Carlos Rivas brings to the table. And he had a good preseason. And I think somehow Carlos comes up with something just spectacular. Maybe it's a blast from 30 yards, or maybe he just blows past people and then goes 1v1 with the goalkeeper. But somehow I'm thinking those are the two goal scorers. So I'm going 2-2 draw. I'd like to christen the place with a victory, of course. And if we do get that third, then it probably would be from Laren, because he loves to score against New York teams. But until we don't tie an opening game, I'm going to have to predict a tie for the opening game.
Okay, that's understandable. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you're right about Rivas, because I would love to see him, like you said, somewhere, you know, 30 out and just put a screamer into the back of the net. However, I'm hoping that I'm right about the final score.
Okay.
And that we finally break that tie, that draw thing, because you're right. I'd forgot. You know what? I'd purposely forgotten about that, I think. I think it was one of those things I put out of my mind. But so I hope you're right about Rivas. I hope I'm right about the score. But the good news is we're only a couple days away.
Absolutely. So we go into the season with Orlando City not entirely healthy. Down a couple of right backs. Kevin Alston's been banged up. Rafael Ramos with a hamstring, two hamstring issues. Chris Nigueta's banged up. Tony Rocha's banged up. So we have some knocks, but I think that this team has the coverage this year that they didn't have, that it didn't have in past years. I think we'll see newcomer PC on the left side. I think we'll see Toya on the right side, which is not ideal for a left-footed player to be playing right back, but I think he gives you some, you know, I think he gives you a solid defensive player at the very least, which is something you need from Villa, you know, when you're facing Villa.
Well, like we talked about last week, it's not something that he hasn't done before.
Yeah, he's done it before, and I think that he'll be fine. Of course, Spector and Aja in the middle, we want to definitely see a solid outing from them for 90 minutes plus, whatever it takes. No switching off, no lapses, no ball watching, no... You know, whoops, I didn't mark him for a half a second and he got behind me. I want to see concentration from the opening whistle to the final whistle. So we want to see that. And I'm really interested to see Will Johnson, what he brings to the team and how he links the back line to the front line. So a lot to look forward to for opening day.
And we are going to have so much to talk about next week.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to preface this by saying that things can change on a dime schedule wise, but we're going to try to do these, record these on Tuesday nights to release them on Wednesday. What that means, of course, is that we're going to have to talk about two games on double game weeks, for the Wednesday game and the weekend game. And, you know, that'll make for an interesting schedule, but it's kind of weird because I think in the past we've released them on Friday and we've talked about the weekend game and the Wednesday game and then previewed the next game. So no matter when you do it, when you have those fixtures coming fast and furious, you got to do, you either have to do more podcasts or you have to have these double podcasts. So
now I have the solution. You and I talk really fast, and then when people listen to it, they just slow it down.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They might already do that. Because those podcast players now are pretty, they're pretty cool.
They're pretty advanced. Yeah.
You can slow things down. You can speed them up.
See, I would make a reference to an old LP, 72 speed, but nobody's going to get it. Just you and I.
Grandpa, what's an LP? yeah, something like that. Anymore, it's Grandpa, what's a CD?
You're right.
So I think that's going to wrap it up for our New York City FC preview. Opening day is coming. Everybody's psyched. We're all amped. We probably forgot to talk about 10 things we were going to talk about, but that's okay. Because we're back with a weekly schedule. So if we forgot to cover anything, we can always come back to it, fresh the following week. So, of course, we want to thank Pierre Da Silva for being with us as our special guest. I know we have some Orlando Pride and other guests coming up in the weeks to come, and I still want to get Miguel Gallardo on. And, it's soccer's back. MLS season is back. We're very excited. And please read our stuff at themainland.com. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at themainland. It's Maine like a lion's mane, M-A-N-E. Follow us there on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Please leave a glowing review for us on iTunes if you enjoy what you hear, and we would appreciate that. And we will be back next week to break down the New York City FC match. And, of course, OCB in the middle of their preseason friendly schedule. And in just about 2 weeks, Orlando Pride will be kicking off their preseason training camp for the 2017 NWSL season. Dave, we got 3 teams, 1 new stadium.
Could not be more excited about all of that. And let's face it, I think OCB being in there is going to be phenomenal for them as far as attendance go. And then, I mean, the Pride, what can you say? I mean, they already get the attendance when it comes to NWSL. So I think, the excitement around the new stadium will just help that as well.
Yep. And we should see some movement with OCB here in the next little bit. We should see some players loaned down. We should see some final signings maybe. As OCB completes its roster, they were out at IMG Academy this week for a pair of friendlies, both on Tuesday. They lost 3-1 to OKC Energy, another USL team, and defeated the U17 residency program team over there at IMG. They defeated them 2-0. Michael Cox had the lone goal in the loss to Oklahoma City Energy. From the penalty spot in the 90th minute in a game that OCB, frankly, just didn't play very well in. And yeah. We didn't get to see any of the other game, which I was told was a 30-minute scrimmage. And the goals were from Joe Gallardo, who also assisted on the other goal. The second goal, you're going to appreciate this.
Mm.
The other goal was scored by a guy named Elvis.
Nice.
Yeah, not the Elvis. This would be an Elvis who is a trialist from Orlando City's Brazilian partner club, Paranaense.
Okay, so not Elvis Costello either.
Not Elvis Costello or the Attractions.
Okay. All right. Well, I figured I'd check.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you checking. So that'll do it. I think we've talked about everything we had to talk about as far as I know, but we're both a couple old guys and probably forgot something. But
I'm sure
we'll be back next week with an all-new guest, all-new game to discuss. And of course, we will break everything down for you and be back next week. So for David Rowe, I would like
thank you.
Once again thank Pierre Da Silva for being with us, and sign off as I usually do with an emphatic Go City!